This morning, and the message, I've got the kids sitting at the front because I, what happens is when you sit at the front, you back row people probably don't get it, but when you sit at the front, the preaching is very in your face. It's very impactful, okay? And I want you guys to listen this morning because I believe that God has a message just for you. Okay, God has a message that he wants to give you guys, but there's a message in here for all of us. Mums and dads, there's a message in here for you, grandparents, okay? But the title of the message this morning is Children, Obey and Honor. Now, last week, we looked at the responsibility of not only parents, obviously, but those who God has entrusted responsibility over children of various different ages. And of course, that means grandparents and aunties and uncles and Sunday school teachers. Come down the front here, bro. You think you could get away with by going to the toilet? Come and sit here now. I'll have mercy on you, all right? So he's about grandparents, aunties, uncles, Sunday school teachers, teachers at school, etc., that they have a responsibility to command and to give instructions to the children. God gives parents a responsibility, a task to instruct their children. But folks, listen, Paul doesn't just stop here. He turns around now and he speaks directly to the kids. He speaks directly to the children. And I love that because God doesn't only tell parents what they are supposed to do, he tells children what they are supposed to do. And folks, the family works God's way when everybody accepts that responsibility that God has given them in the family unit. Now, let me say something to you kids right to begin with. Listen, your parents, they're not perfect, all right? In the same breath, you will understand that children aren't perfect. But what is perfect is this book. The Word of God is perfect, okay? And God has given us a pattern of how our homes should be. So the text we're looking at is Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 to 3. Let's go ahead and read that. And then I'm going to get Alex, if you want to come up, and you can open up in prayer this morning, okay, mate? Just commit the message to the Lord. So let's read the text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? Right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And all of God's people said, why don't you come up, just open up, just thank the Lord for being in church and ask God to talk to us today. Come on.
Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you, Lord, that we can all be in the Lord's house today. Thank you that Pastor Dust can come up here and teach the children. Please help the children to take in the words of the message, Lord, and
amen,
that we can use it in our daily life and that we can show your fruit, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this wonderful day. Amen.
Amen. Okay. So this morning, I believe, church, that God has something very simple to say to everyone in this room. If you have a mum and dad, God is speaking to you. And the message is simple. Obey your parents and honor your parents. And those two commands give us four important truths that I want to share with you guys this morning. Truth number one, obedience is a command. Okay, truth number one, obedience is a command. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. I want you to notice that Paul doesn't say, children, think about obeying your parents like somehow obedience is optional, like you have a choice. He doesn't say, children, obey your parents when you think that they are right. He says, children, obey your parents. So let me ask you, you sit on the end there, buddy, you're right. Just pull that stuff aside, all right? Now, let me ask you a question this morning, church, all right? Why don't you steal? Why don't you just flog something that doesn't belong to you? You like it. Why don't you take it? Because it is wrong, right? It is wrong. So the question is, why is it wrong? Because God said, don't take anything that doesn't belong to you, right? What's the commandment? One of the kids, what's the commandment? Thou shalt not steal, okay? Thou shalt not steal. Why should you not tell lies? Because that is wrong too. Why is that wrong? Because God said, thou shalt not bear false witness of any kind. God says that we must tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help us God. So understand, kids, when mom and dad give commands and instructions to children, the authority behind that is not the fact that they're a mom or a dad, or the fact that they have any kind of authority over you. The actual authority is, in fact, that God said that instruction. God said, don't steal. God says, don't lie. God says, don't hate someone in your heart, like he said a bunch of other things and other commandments to all of us. We parents, we try and instill these commandments into their children's lives so they become part of their what? Of their character, the character of the kids. So understand, children, that obedience is a command. And notice this morning who it is, kids, that give the command. Who's the one that gives the command? God. God is the one that gives the command. You know, children may sometimes think, oh man, you know what? Mom and dad are telling me what to do again and again and again, and they tell me all the time. I mean, I wish they would just back off a little bit, okay? But ultimately, understand this, kids, if mom and dad are asking you to do something that it is right and something that is biblical, God is the one behind the authority that is given them to give you those instructions. God is the one that is asking those things. So what is obedience as God has commanded? Obedience means doing what you are told. And let me tell you this, children, listen, biblical obedience isn't, you know what, I'll do it eventually. I'll get to it. It's not, oh, you know, I'll do it if I think it's a good idea. Like somehow obedience is only relevant if I agree with what mum and dad are saying. It's not. It's not, I'll do it, but I'm going to complain the whole time while I'm obeying. I'm going to just whinge about it. And it's certainly not, I'll obey when I'm in the mood. No, I just don't feel like it. I just don't feel like it. Delayed obedience is still disobedience. Obedience according to your own schedule, obedience according to your own timeline. Listen, folks, it is still disobedience. I mean, think about Abraham. God said in Genesis chapter 12, verse number 1, God said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. He said, get away from your family and from thy father's house unto a land that I'm going to show you, a land that I will show thee. And Abraham went, just like that, not knowing whether he went, the Bible says. Abraham never came to God and said, you know what, Lord, I need to know where we're going. I need to know the end point. I need to know the destination. Lord, you've got to at least give me a map. I need to be able to put it in my phone into Waze and see where I'm going. No. He went. He obeyed. He just went. Think about Noah. God told Noah to build what? An ark. Noah didn't say, Lord, you know what? That sounds ridiculous. Do you understand, Lord, how long that is going to take? I mean, it's just, you know, me and my three boys, and that's, you know, it's, we got in the Bible, it tells us it took over 100 years. Lord, do you know how long it's going to take me? How many splinters my wife is going to have to pick out of my hands? I mean, I have other plans, Lord. No, he obeyed. He didn't need to know why God said what he said to him. Noah simply obeyed. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 22, he says, "Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he." And that's what parents should be teaching their children. Listen, kids, that is why your authority wants you to obey, because when God gives a command, we obey, and we obey right away. And when parents give a legitimate command, children ought to obey without question and without murmur. So let me make it practical. Listen, kids, when mum and dad say, "Listen, I've seen your room. Go and clean your room." Yes, mum. Yes, dad. Obey. When dad says, you know, it's time to turn that thing off, whatever that thing is on. Yes, sir. Right away. When your parents say to you, teenagers, when your parents say to you, "Listen, don't go there." "Yes, I understand. I won't." Can I encourage you, kids, teens? The thing that shouldn't come out of our mouth is why. God hasn't placed that idea, in that structure in your life. You don't need to know why. Let me tell you something you may not understand. You know when God tells mum and dads to do something, we don't have the right to ask God why. God says, "You obey me," like we said. But why, God? We don't have the right to ask that. And what we're trying to do is teach you that so when you get older and God gives you a command, you're not there arguing with God about why he asked you to do those things. We obey. When your parents say, "Come home," obey. Be home. Have a curfew. Be home at so-and-so time. Be home at that time. It's always, my son doesn't live at home anymore. He's actually moved down the road. He lives in Matraville. He shares a flat with a flatmate, 10 minutes from his home. But he had a, during the week, he had an 11:30 curfew, and he always used to manage to pull into the driveway on his motorbike at 11:29. I don't know what he did, BJ, to get home at 11:29. He must have broken every road rule on the planet, but he was home by curfew. There was this thing where I need to obey my curfew. We obey. One other thing I want to say to the teens, especially this morning. Please listen to me this morning. Obedience doesn't become optional because you're getting older. In fact, the older you get, the more important it is, more important it becomes that you learn how to respond properly to authority. Because eventually you leave your parents' home and you're still going to have authority over you. You're going to have employers. Teens and young adults that have never learned obedience to authority, listen, they make horrible employees. Right, you guys that employ people, imagine you give someone an instruction and they say, "Why? I don't think you should do it that way. I'll do it tomorrow. I think you're doing it wrong. I wouldn't do it like that." They always think they know better than the boss paying them to obey their instructions. They never go anywhere in their working life, let alone have a career. Understand that a boss pays you to do what they said within the bounds of your employment purposes, of course. So learning to obey is going to make better employees. You're going to have governments over you. And they expect you to obey them in the realms of the laws and the rules that they have for society. And if you think you don't need to obey them, you'll make a horrible citizen of that country. I mean, we've got this pandemic in society about these. Who's heard of sovereign citizens? You've heard of them? They're a bunch of people that live in a country that they say these rules and these laws, they don't obey. They don't apply to me. And so they live according to that mentality. And we've had the tragedy recently in Victoria where one of these guys, that the law doesn't apply to him, the rules don't apply to him, and don't you dare enforce them, and he murdered two police officers in cold blood. Because the rules didn't apply to him. You're going to have governments over you that expect you to follow the rules. God expects you to follow those rules. You're going to have pastors and spiritual authority over you that care for your souls. And if you decide that you know that they know nothing and that you know better, you'll make an unprofitable servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you're going to have God over you. You have God as your authority. Listen, kids, listen, folks. Learning to obey parents, learning to obey properly, is part of learning to live properly. And if you fail to learn how to obey properly, you will indeed have a miserable existence on God's earth. Why? Because this is God's earth, and your life belongs to Him, and He has a way for us and children to live. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. All right, Luke chapter 2. Let's go ahead and turn there, church. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read from verse number 41. Luke chapter 2, verse 41. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, now you know who this passage is talking about, right? And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus, he's not an adult at this stage, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. Verse number 44. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among the king's folks and acquaintances. You understand the story of what's happening here, kids, right? So they left Jerusalem, and they were in a great company traveling, and mum thought that he was at the front with the kids in the company, and dad thought that he was among the men traveling at the back, and all along Jesus had stayed back in Jerusalem. For a whole day, they traveled. Who's 12 here? Who's 12? Is anyone 12? I mean, he was your age. He wasn't an adult. He wasn't little. He wasn't like a little kid. He wasn't, you know, Jerry's age. He was a bit older. But he was still a kid. And now they've traveled for a day. Mum and dad are gone, and he's left behind. And look what he continues. Verse number 45. And they found him, and it says, and they found him not. So they're looking for him, and they can't find him. They turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And he came to pass that after how many days? 3 days. 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee what? Sorrowing. I mean, they were worried. They were worried. And so they should be. I mean, you imagine leaving Ellie and Erica behind for 3 days. I mean, how would mum and dad be? I'm not even going to ask BJ. Yeah. I mean, they were stressed. The little boy was missing. And now they find him and they said, don't you know that we were looking for you and we were worried about you, son? And he said unto them, how is it that you sought me? Wished you not that I must be about my father's business? Oh, listen, there was something really spiritual going on here. Look at verse number 50. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Verse 51, I want you to take notice. Look at verse 51. And he, Jesus, went down with them and came to Nazareth and was what? Subject unto him. Unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in their heart. So there's something really spiritual going on. Mum and dad are freaking out that they can't find him. They find the boy Jesus Christ. And he says, I know you were looking for me, Mum and Dad, but I was about the Father's business. And the Bible tells us that Mum and Dad didn't really understand what that meant. But what did Jesus do? Did he stay there and argue with them? Did he say there, no, you don't get it? Let me explain this to you. No, he was subject unto them. He put himself under the obedience of his earthly mum and dad. He was subject unto them. In verse 52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. And notice the verse, and he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. I mean, think about, kids, think about who it is that we're talking about. I mean, this is Jesus Christ. This is the creator of heaven and earth. This is going to blow your mind. He's the creator of Joseph and Mary. You want to give that a headache for tonight, amen, when you're trying to figure that out. He's the Son of God. The one who would one day speak with all divine authority and that he would command demons and even the devil would do what he commands and he would heal the sick and he would raise the dead and he would calm the storm and ultimately he would die for the sins of the world. This is who this 12-year-old boy is. And yet, at 12 years old, the Bible tells us he was subject unto them. He was obedient to his mum and to his dad. That, kids, is an extraordinary example of submission and obedience. Now, there's an important distinction here. Jesus was never sinful or disobedient to God when he said, I must be about my Father's business. He was demonstrating that his ultimate allegiance was to his heavenly Father. But notice what he did immediately after giving them the reason. We stressed it. And he went down with them and was subject unto them. He willingly submitted himself to the authority of his earthly parents. And here's the application. Listen up, kids. Listen. If Jesus Christ, as a young person, willingly submitted himself to legitimate parental authority of mum and dad, what makes us think that children today are somehow above it or exempt from it? If the Son of God, God come in the flesh, Creator God, can be obedient to his earthly mum and dad, what makes us think that I don't have to? And I don't care how old you think you are when you don't have to. children sometimes say, none of you have ever said this. I don't want to. Jesus didn't live by I don't want to. He lived by doing what was right. And that brings us right back to our text. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is, it's right. It is right. It is right to obey mom and dad. I want you to notice something else in Luke chapter 2. Jesus was how old, we said? He was 12. 12 years old. I want you to notice that he wasn't a little toddler. He was old enough, like you girls, to reason. He was old enough to ask questions. He was old enough to understand the scriptures. He was old enough to sit among the doctors of the law and amaze them with his understanding. But yet, even at that age, he remained subject under the authority in obedience to his parents. And this gives us a wonderful principle to learn, young people. Growing older doesn't mean growing out of obedience. Listen, we never ever at any stage of our life get to live however we feel like it. Let me stress something to you that you may not understand. Mum and dad, they don't get to live however they like. They have God giving them instructions and God giving them commandments and God caring and loving them to give them the way to live. At no stage we get to do whatever we like. In fact, the Bible tells us at times in Israel's history where every man did that which was right in his own eyes, and it always, always, always ended up in disaster. Always. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. As children mature, the nature of the relationship changes, but the biblical principle of honor and respect never disappear. Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. There is something beautiful, kids, about the order that God gives us here. There's submission, which leads to spiritual growth, which leads to spiritual maturity, which leads to God's blessings and God's favor. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature while living in submission to mom and dad. So when we teach children to obey, we aren't trying to keep them small, folks. Mum and dad aren't there to try and hinder you and try and keep you down. They are trying to help you grow. They are helping you and they are praying for you and they're trying as hard as they can for you to reach your God-given potential. We're teaching you how to become a mature young person of God. We're teaching you how to live under God's ordained authority. We're teaching you how to respond to God. And ultimately, we're preparing you for a life where you will need to understand the most important authority of all, the authority of God Himself over every single area of your life. So let me give you point number two. This obedience that God is calling us to has a foundation. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. What's the foundation? For this is right. For this is right. That little phrase, listen kids, that little phrase is incredibly important. Why should children obey? Because it is right. Not because your mum and dad is perfect. Not because parents will always make the right decision. Not because children will always understand the reason. Because God says it is right. And that is where we need to be careful. Listen up, mum and dad. This is where we need to be careful in our modern culture. Because we live in a world, these children, these teenagers, live in a world today that constantly and most of the time will teach them you need to question the authority. You need to do whatever feels right. You're the only one that knows what's best for you. Nobody can tell you what to do. Oh, you need to go and you need to listen to your own heart. You are the master of your own destiny. But God says something completely different, church. God has established authority. And the family is one of the first places where a child learns the authority matters. Children need to learn something really, really important. You don't have to understand everything in order to obey everything that it is right. Listen, kids, there will be times when your parents tell you to do something and you just don't understand why they're telling you to do that. And sometimes they may not even have the time or the inclination to explain it to you. But if what they're asking you to do is right, you obey. And listen, you don't get to decide what is right. This book gets to decide what is right. The Bible does. Jesus himself demonstrated submission to earthly parents. I mean, we spoke about it at length. That ought to put, you know, biblical obedience into some sort of perspective for us this morning, church. Because there's a great lesson here for parents too. For mums and dads and grandparents and aunties and uncles and youth workers and Sunday school teachers. If we want children to respect authority, we need to teach them the authority ultimately comes from God. In the Bible, we have a story of the daughters of Zelophehad. And it's a really, really interesting example to what I'm talking about this morning. Why? Because it shows respect for God-ordained authority while also doing what is right. Why? Because obedience isn't blind conformity. It is recognizing and respecting God's order. So the story goes, the daughters of Zelophehad, and they're in mourning. Their father has died, and the family has no men. They had no brothers. And under the inheritance arrangements of Israel, this created a genuine problem because only the men inherited in the Old Testament Israel. And so what they do is they realize that the land is being divided, is being given out, and they're not going to get anything because they have no brothers. There's no men. The father had died, the brothers had died in battle. And it's just the daughters of Zelophehad left. And so they approached Moses. And folks, they didn't approach Moses rebelliously. They didn't come to him disrespectfully. They didn't come say, hey, Moses, we've got to talk. There's an issue here with the way that that this is being done. No, they approached God's ordained authority properly. And in Numbers 27, actually, let's go and turn to Numbers 27. Kids, let's go to the Old Testament, Numbers, the book of Numbers. Let's see if you can help me with some of these names, all right? Numbers 27, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, right? Numbers. Numbers chapter 27, verse number 1. Let's have a look at what he says here. Verse number 1. Then came the daughters of Zelophehad, the son of Hepher, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, of the families of Manasseh, the son of Joseph. And these are the names of his daughters: Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. They're the daughters' names. And look at verse number 2. And they stood before Moses and before Eleazar the priest and before the princes and all the congregation by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, our father died in the wilderness, and look at this, and he was not in the company of them that gathered themselves together against the Lord in the company of Korah, but died in his own sin and had no sons. It seems to me that Zelophehad was a righteous man. He didn't keep company with those that were idol worshippers and God judged that went with Korah. He had his own sin, like the Bible says, but he wasn't in rebellion to God. And then they say in verse number 4, why should the name of our father be done away from among his family? Because he had no son. Remember, they had no inheritance. They had no boys left. The name was going to be gone. And they say, give us a possession among the brethren of our father. Moses' wisdom, I love this. Look at it in verse number 5. And Moses brought their cause before the Lord. You know what Moses did? Moses didn't say, oh, I know better. This is what the law says. Let's talk to God about it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse number 6. Look at verse number 7. The daughters of Zelophehad, what? What's it say, the next two words? They speak right. God is endorsing what these ladies were telling Moses and Eleazar. What they're saying is right. Why? Because they approached Moses and they approached Eleazar and all the congregation and they said, listen, this is the issue. Can you please have a look at it and maybe speak to God about it? And Moses said, okay, let me pray, let me speak to God, see what God says. So can you imagine, God said, they speak right. Can you imagine if these children, the daughters of Zelophehad, came in saying, Moses, this is not right. You owe us something. We've been in this nation for all these years. And we've been working and we've been taking care of our family. And now because they went and they fought and our brothers have died and dad is gone, now you owe us something, Moses. God owes us a piece of land that we can live in. How would have God taken that? Dare I say, if you look at what the Bible says, look at verse number 7 again. The daughters of Zelophehad speak right. Thou shalt surely give them a possession of an inheritance among the father's brethren, among their father's brethren, and thou shalt cause the inheritance of the father to pass unto them. God went against his own rules to give them what they wanted. Why? Because they did it the right way. Is there something that you guys need from God? There is the right way to ask for it. And sometimes, not all the time, God may just give you the desires of your heart because the way you asked and the way you behaved honored him. Even though it may not have been his will at the time. That's what happened right here. These ladies, they had a legitimate concern. They didn't just simply accept the situation they believed was wrong, but they didn't rebel against God's authority either. They didn't march and yell and scream and declare their rights. They didn't leave their responsibilities that they had to go and get attention. They didn't leave school and go and march in the city and yell and shout and scream profanities. They went to the proper authority, the proper way. They stood before Moses, and what did Moses do? Moses brought their cause before the Lord, and then God said, the daughters of Zelophehad, speak right. That's the lesson for us this morning, children. Biblical obedience doesn't mean that you don't get to ask questions. It doesn't mean that children aren't allowed to say, listen, Dad, can I just ask you the, Dad, just kindly, the reason behind this decision? Just Dad, what's the reason behind it that you've asked me to do that? I want to learn. I need to know that. Can you help me learn? It's not why. It doesn't mean parents are always automatically right. Rather, the children need to learn how to respond respectfully to authority. These women had something they believed needed to be addressed, but they approached God's appointed authority properly and respectfully. And folks, and that brings us back to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. God's way is to respect legitimate authority and do what is right. Listen, children, if you don't understand something your parents have told you, you can ask, but there is a right way to ask and there is a wrong way to ask. You don't scream. You don't argue. You don't become disrespectful. You don't say, oh, you're not the boss of me. You respectfully ask your question and listen to their answer, and then you go and you do what God told you to do anyway. Understand, God isn't teaching children merely to do what they are told. He's teaching them to recognize what is right, to respect authority, and to respond properly when they don't understand. For this is what? Right. It's right. This is point number 3. We're almost done. The other half of that verse is honor. Honor, point number 3, honor is more than obedience. Honor thy father and mother. Now, Paul moves from obedience to honor kids. And they're related, but listen, they're not identical. They're not the same thing. Obedience concerns what you do. Honor concerns how you regard the person that you're obeying. Because the Lord knows we live in a day when you and I, we can obey, but show no honor at all to authority. A child can obey outwardly while dishonoring inwardly. The heart matters because honor is a matter of the heart, folks. I'm 52 years old and I remember this like it was yesterday. I remember obeying Dad and inside I just wanted to smack him in the head. That's dishonor. That's not what pleases the Lord. Children can do exactly what Mom and Dad said while muttering under their breath. They can obey Dad while rolling their eyes. Have you ever got that? Yes. That's obedience in dishonor. They can do what they're told while displaying contempt. That's not the spirit of honor. Honor involves respect. It involves how you speak to your parents, how you speak about them, how you treat them, how you respond when they correct you, how you treat them when you're embarrassed to be seen with them. I remember telling often my dad to drop me off when he used to take me to school on occasion, a block before the school. I didn't want to be found to be embarrassed dropping the old man, dropping me off at school as a 15, 16-year-old. You know what that was? That was dishonor. Honor is more than obedience. And this is particularly important as children get older, church. When their little parents make every decision for them, but as children become teenagers and eventually adults, that relationship changes. An adult child may no longer be under the authority of mum and dad, but in the same way as a young child is. But God's command remains. Listen, God's command remains. Honor thy father and thy mother. That means you don't suddenly stop respecting your parents because you turned 18. You're an adult now. Listen, something that God doesn't like is when we get into a young adulthood and all of a sudden we consider mum and dad our equal. No, that's not right. That's not biblical. My dad was never my mate. He was my father, my dad. We got along as friends and we were close, but he never stopped being my dad, my father. I never spoke to him like I spoke to my friends. You have that honor and you have that respect. You don't stop appreciating them because you got married and you left the house. You don't stop speaking respectfully to them because you think you know more than they do. And you certainly don't treat them as though they're an embarrassment because they're getting older. And I can't wait to meet Joseph. Joseph in the Bible. I mean, Joseph eventually became second only to Pharaoh in Egypt, folks. He was the second most powerful man in the known world. I mean, he was the J.D. Vance to Trump in the olden times. He was the vice president. This is Joseph. And there's decades that have passed of Joseph living with this authority. And his father comes down from Egypt. And Joseph has all this incredible power. And Joseph has all this incredible authority. And let me tell you, yet Joseph never ever forgot his dad. Joseph honored him and respected him. And when Jacob finally died, Joseph mourned deeply for his father. And in Genesis chapter 50, verse 1, and Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. Joseph had become an extremely powerful man, but he never became too important to honor his dad, to honor his father. Remember, folks, when we decide to willfully sin, we are not only hurting a grieving God, we are dishonoring our parents. Something you may not have thought of, folks. When we willfully sin, our mum and dads, our parents, share the shame of our sin. Where is that in the Bible? Come on, folks. Come on, folks. What happened on the cross? When your sin and my sin fell upon the Lord Jesus Christ and he bore that. What was the result of that? What was the result of that? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why has... The Father felt the shame of the Son carrying the sin of the world. And when we choose to sin willfully, we shame our parents. That is biblical. That is Bible, folks. That is not honoring mum and dad. Listen, kids, remember this. You may outgrow your parents' house. You may become more educated than mum and dad. You may earn more money than mum and dad one day. You may eventually even have more influence than your parents. But you will never, ever, ever outgrow God's command to honor and respect your mum and your dad. Proverbs 23:22. Hearken unto the father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. God is showing that honor doesn't expire when a child grows up, even when parents become older. God's command is still to respect them. Proverbs 20:20. Whoso curses his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. That's a strong contrast, church. God takes the treatment of parents seriously. Honor isn't merely about what we say when everything is going well. It is revealed in how we speak to and about our parents, especially when we disagree with them. Children, obedience is what you do. Honor is how you treat the person God has commanded you to obey. And God's command to honor your father and mother doesn't ever expire. Let me give you the last one and we're done. Point number four. Honor, obeying God, honor your parents, has a promise. In our text says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with what? Promise, verse number three, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. So God attaches a promise to this command, kids. And listen, what a promise it is. Amen. That it may be well with thee. God says there is a blessing associated with living according to his design. What we shouldn't do, folks, listen, church, what we shouldn't do is interpret this as a guarantee that every obedient child will live a trouble-free life and reach a particular age. Okay? The Bible itself contains godly young people who went to heaven at a young age, but there is a general principle here that we need to follow. God's way is always the best way. God's order produces blessing. And God's order protects us from many consequences of not following God's order. Think about the prodigal son in the Bible, a story that we all know well. He rejected, you know the story, he rejected the father's authority. He comes to dad and demands his inheritance. He leaves home, and then he goes off into the world and he lives according to his own desires. And eventually, what we know is in Luke chapter 15, verse 17, the Bible says, and when he came to himself. Do you remember that? And when he came to himself. Have you ever asked yourself, what does that mean? I mean, he's out there and he's doing what he likes and he's living and his life goes down the gurgler. And then the Bible says, and when he came to himself. What on earth does that mean? Let me tell you, he discovered that his father's way was better than his own way. That is one of the greatest lessons of life that you're going to learn, and that includes the children. Listen, God's way, mom and dad's way, is better than your way. You know? Kids often, especially when they get a little bit older, oh man, my parents don't understand. You know, mum and dad, they're just out of touch. And then what happens is you grow up a little bit. Then you get a little bit older and you discover, you know what? They understood a lot more than I thought they understood. You know, sometimes parents don't get everything right. They will make mistakes. Sometimes, look, those mistakes may even be serious. But God's principle remains right, folks. Obey your parents, honor your parents, because God's way is better than your way. John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Let's go ahead and turn, then we're done. John chapter 19. John chapter 19, we're going to read two verses. And I want to give you these. I want you to see these because this is Jesus' example. All right? John chapter 19, verses 26 and 27. Jesus is crucified. He's hanging on the cross. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. He's saying to Mary, his mother, he's saying, Mom, look at John. Look at him. He's your son. And then in verse number 27, then saith he to the disciple, John, Behold thy mother. Look, she's your mom. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Even while Jesus was suffering on the cross, he was concerned about his mom, about his mother. He wasn't thinking only about himself. He saw Mary and he made sure that she would be cared for. That's a beautiful picture of honor in action, church. And remember, this is the same Jesus who had grown up in Nazareth and he had been in subject unto them. And now years later, he's there, he's hanging on the cross and he's still demonstrating love and concern and honor towards his mum, towards his mother. So let me say this to you. Listen, children, honor isn't something that you do while you're living under mum and dad's roof. Honor is something that becomes part of who you are. And Jesus demonstrated honor towards his mother even in the greatest hour of suffering that he would ever face. And that brings us straight back to the promise. God says, honor thy father and mother that it may be well with thee. Listen, kids, there is a blessing in living God's way. And you may not understand every command your parents give you. And your parents won't always get everything right. But God commands to honor them and respect them and obey them. It is always right. Always right. Obey them and honor them because it is what?
Right.
It is right. Honor them because God commanded it and trust God's promise that his way is the best way. You know, I think back, church, to last week's message. Parents, instruct your children. And this week, children, obey and honor your parents. And then Paul continues. Ephesians 6:4, and your fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God has a responsibility for every member of the family. And when God, when everybody says, you know, God, what do you want me to do? Rather than God, what do you want everybody else to do? That home becomes God's the way God intended it to be. God, what will thou have me to do? Children, obey your parents because God says it is right. Children, honor your parents because God says they are worthy of respect. Children, obey and honor your parents because God says that's the way we bring blessing to our life and to our home. And ultimately, when you obey and you honor your parents, you are learning to obey and honor God. Because the greatest lesson isn't simply be a good kid. That is not what this is about. The greatest lesson is learn to live under God's authority. And that is something every child needs to learn. And frankly, folks, every parent needs to learn. Every person, every child of God needs to learn. So children, obey and honor your mum and dad because God said it is and it's going to be a blessing to your life. And all of God's people said,
amen.
Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word and for the clear instruction you have given us for our families this morning, Lord. And Lord, I pray for these children sitting at the front here this morning that you would help them to understand the importance of obedience and honor. Lord, would you give them a humble heart, a heart that is willing to listen, a soft heart that is willing to obey, and a tender heart that is willing to respect the authority that you have placed in their life because you love them so much. And Father, I pray that you would help parents to lead with wisdom and patience and love and godliness so that our homes might reflect your order and bring glory to you. And Lord, would you help every one of us, whether we're young or whether we're older, to remember that ultimately we are living under your authority. Give us hearts, Lord, that are willing to obey, to honor, and to follow you and your word. Lord, may our homes be places where Christ is honored, where your word is obeyed, and where your love is ever evident. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your mercy, and your love. Help us, Lord, to bring glory to your name in our families. We commit this heart's desire to you. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and stand.